This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It is indeed World Wide Wave. Top Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, we have a full house with Paul.
Hello.
Hello, Damien.
Hi.
Dean's on the panel.
G'day.
And I'm Matt. News of the conviction and jailing of seven men for homosexual conduct this past week takes us to the West African country of Senegal.
What would drive a mother to report her own son for homosexuality, resulting in a jail term?
Why is the country seemingly out of step with its neighbours on legalising homosexuality?
And what is preventing Senegal politicians from updating their laws for LGBT people? To dissect the gay life in Senegal, tonight we are talking to Nelly Gachal from the Human Rights Watch in Africa. And here is a taste of what's coming up tonight.
Simply ensure that the letter of the law is not being violated. In other words, don't have the police going and searching in people's apartments to try to find what they might be doing because somebody has reported them to the police. You know, if you have to enforce the law, enforce it in cases in which there's a very, very obvious case of a violation. The reality is that if governments respected people's right to privacy and didn't go poking around in people's apartments in the first place, they wouldn't come up with very many cases to prosecute, if any at all.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Tonight we kick off with Singapore, which in a belated news item has lifted its two-decade-long ban on HIV-infected people entering the country, but will limit their stay to a maximum of 3 months.
Hooray! Kind of.
So
it happened back in the 1st of April, so what's taken them so long?
Took them a while to actually mount the press release.
I think it was a secret, maybe.
The three-month restriction is apparently aimed at preventing long-term residence by foreigners such as those looking to work in the island nation or to accompany a child studying there. The policy on repatriation and permanent blacklisting of HIV-positive foreigners was recommended in the late 80s when the disease was new, fatal, and no effective treatment was available.
But they're sort of saying that the short-term visit poses a very low risk of HIV transmission, and that's why we'll let you in.
But if you stay a day over 3 months,
the risk goes
dangerous.
Straight up.
Yes.
Because the ban on a long-term one remains as the public health risk, or I should say, and I quote, the public health risk posed by long stays is not insignificant.
And the local HIV activist there, Roy Chan, says, while things have improved slightly, we cannot forget that there are still, many are still being asked to leave their jobs and are ostracised by friends and family because of HIV infection.
Ridiculous.
And we should also point out that Australia and New Zealand have similar restrictions on long-term visitors with HIV.
It's not impossible for people with HIV to get a permanent residency in Australia, but it's not easy. Absolutely ridiculous in this day and age. All right, so moving on to Italy, where it's a bit funny in a way. The mayor of Venice, Luigi Brognaro.
Luigi?
Yes, it's Luigi, you know, has been quoted as saying that he will try to ban gay pride parades in the city.
There will be no gay pride in my Venice, he said.
Described it as farcical and kitsch. However, he said he's not homophobic because...
He doesn't like colour.
He just doesn't like the glitter and the feathers that get in the way.
If you
try getting them out of canals afterwards...
Oh, it's the glitter in the canal. That's the problem, I'm sure.
Oh, well, he insists he has friends who are gay. So anyway, he's been criticised for this, obviously, and the head of an Italian gay rights group has invited him to join the next Pride parade in Venice and said, we'll be back next year and we invite the mayor to march at the head of the parade with us. That way he will see what a gay Pride parade really is.
He was actually quoted as saying, let them go and do it in Milan or in front of their own homes.
A little bit of shade on Milan, I think, there. Now, Italy, as we all know, is the only European country that has no form of civil unions or... Oh, actually, no, I tell a lie. Belarus doesn't either. So, one of the only... No, the only EU country that doesn't have civil unions or same-sex marriage at this point. And they're still sort of dragging their feet when it comes to actually, well, you know, actually doing it.
It does have quite a very significant bureaucracy, though, around the Roman Catholic Church, which takes us to our next story on the United Kingdom, where a poll shows the majority of strong Catholics. Now, that's not Catholics that go to the gym. That's Catholics that strongly believe that their faith is important to them. Even those people who are most committed to the Catholic faith, the majority now support same-sex marriage.
More so than Protestants,
more
can
so
you
than
believe.
Protestants. So it's 50 to 40 for and against same-sex marriage on the Catholic side. The Protestant side, a bit of a turmoil there, 45 to 47%. So pretty much on par, fighting for to see who has the most support. The poll this week shows that overall in the community, though, general support is 66% for and 22% opposed.
Over in Canada, a Winnipeg woman has heard two police
officers...
That's
a tongue twister.
Yes, please don't make me try to say it again. In a helicopter, broadcasting comments about oral sex. I don't know if she was taking notes, but she's complained that they should be disciplined.
So this is two policemen in a helicopter.
Three.
Having a chat over their speakers, but actually forgot that the outside external PA was on.
Yeah, well, apparently the Winnipeg Police Service has already apologised for the incident. Which happened when this pair and another officer were on a routine patrol on board the helicopter and they accidentally turned on the external PA.
And what they said was, amongst other things, "Can you give me a blowjob?" And the other officer replied, "You have too much body hair."
She replied, so there was obviously a mix of officers on board.
Right, okay. And did the advisor come out and say, "Oh, it was just an oral slip-up"?
One would think so, but Canadians, sort of shady Canadians, have been having a field day on Twitter with hashtags like whoops and speakerphone trending ever since.
The woman that's complaining was shocked, surprised, and her jaw hit the ground.
And no news on the disappointed officer not getting his blowjob.
In brief, Poland's Tolerance Rainbow, an art installation, has had to be taken down after being torched 7 times in 3 years.
In Syria, 16 ISIS militants who tested HIV positive are reportedly being forced to become suicide attackers.
And approximately 500 people are protested in Nepal for constitutional LGBT protection.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Nikki from Canada, where everybody can get married. You're listening to the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Senegal is where we are visiting tonight. Let's kick off with some fun fast facts.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, Senegal is one of the countries in West Africa that specifically does outlaw same-sex sexual acts. And in the past, they have a history of prosecuting people under this law. It's an interesting thing, and we hear this in the interview too, because the act of having sex with somebody of the same sex is illegal, but being gay is not. So as long as you're not doing anything, apparently, it's okay.
So you just have to be celibate.
LGBT, that's right.
And then you're good.
Or a priest or something like that. According to a 2013 research project from Pew Global Attitudes, 97% of Senegalese residents believe that homosexuality is a way of life that society should not accept. 97%.
A figure unchanged from 2007. Now, the upside of that is... there's a whopping 3% of people.
Go the three. Go the three.
Always a silver lining.
Now, adoption of children. There have been instances. They've got some, again, strange laws here, where a couple who are married for a minimum of 5 years.
Well, that rules out the LGBT crowd.
Well, that's right. But if you're an unmarried person who is at least 35 years of age, you can adopt.
If there's at least 15 years difference between yourself and the age of the child. So I think we'd call that a loophole rather than than anything else.
Senegalese law does not specifically disallow LGB persons from adopting.
Now, there have been many instances where people, LGBT people, have been targeted within the country. In 2008, 9 men were arrested on charge of a homosexuality when they were actually meeting for the local HIV/AIDS prevention group. In 2012, a male couple was viciously beaten near Dakar, the capital, by one of the men's parents. And that's another thing we delve into with tonight's guest.
The men were also repeatedly tortured whilst in police custody. So that gives you an idea of the views right through the society.
So I'm assuming that United Nations and Amnesty International and other such organisations have got Senegal on their watch list at the moment.
Right. Everyone does.
In 2013, President Obama called on all African countries to give everyone equal rights.
However, the Senegal president, Macky Sall, responded saying that we are still not ready to decriminalise homosexuality, but we are very tolerant, and this does not mean we are homophobic. He was very, very quick on that one.
I don't know what they actually mean when they say that.
I think it's known as a word salad.
A word salad. The United Nations, so the UN periodic reviews, which we've talked about a number of times on this show, a raft of countries submitted proposals, recommendations, as a part of that to Senegal. Every one of them to do with LGBT rights was knocked back. They refused to accept the recommendations, explaining that merely being homosexual is not a crime, even though the same-sex acts are. They're going round in circles there. That's our fun, fast facts. Coming up, we're speaking to our guest tonight. We are speaking with Neela Ghoshal. Neela is from Human Rights Watch in Africa, leading the international outcry against the 6-month jail term for the 7 men convicted of sodomy. Neela is based in their Africa Bureau in Kenya. And we started by asking Neela what Human Rights Watch knew about the incident that resulted in the conviction of these 7 men.
Well, what we know is that on July 21st, the police arrived at an apartment outside of Dakar, and apparently the mother of one of a group of young men who were hanging out inside that apartment had reported the men to the police and had told the police that her son was homosexual. According to the men's lawyers, without a warrant, the police arrived at the apartment. Somebody opened the door for them, and they went in and arrested the men who they found there. Now, there are all kinds of extraordinary claims in the police report, and many of these claims have been exaggerated to another level entirely by the media. The police claim that some of the men were found in, quote-unquote, compromising positions. We don't know exactly what a compromising position is. There's nothing in Senegalese law that prohibits being in a so-called compromising position. The police claim that some of the men were nude, that some were wearing their boxer shorts. But basically, there's absolutely no clarity from the police as to whether any of these men were actually engaged in same-sex conduct, which is what is prohibited under Senegalese law. So these men were arrested very arbitrarily. They were taken to court, and they've now been charged and convicted of acts against nature, according to Senegalese law.
Some of the reports online are stating that the police case was quite weak. The mother was meant to be there and didn't turn up for the case, yet it all went ahead.
Exactly. In fact, what we're hearing from the lawyers is that nobody turned up to testify against the men at all. Even the police who arrived at the apartment and saw whatever was or was not going on, didn't show up to testify in court. So the entire case is based on the prosecutor bringing forth a written police report. Now, police can write anything down in the report that they want to. You know, we know the police reports are not necessarily reliable, and if you don't have a police officer on the stand who you can cross-examine, how are you going to get a reliable picture of what happened? But it seems like the panel of judges essentially bought the prosecution's story without questioning or challenging the details of it at all. Interestingly, the men were also charged with possession of illegal drugs, and the court threw out that charge because they said that the prosecution hadn't supplied any evidence of illegal drugs. But the prosecution also didn't supply any evidence of homosexuality. They just came forward with a claim and with a written police report, and that was clearly enough for what I assume was probably a homophobic panel of judges.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
It's a show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, and tonight we have stopped off in West Africa in Senegal. Message has come in from Ray. Ray's pointing out that Senegal is a Muslim-majority country and its anti-gay laws reflect the views of its own and the views of its neighbouring countries. If a person is not discreet, they face persecution, harassment and even death, as occurs in many other African countries. Thanks for that, Ray. If you've been there, we'd be happy to hear your insights inside Senegal. We're also speaking with our guest tonight to get further insights.
The police raid where the men were arrested was a result of a tip-off to the police from the mother of one of the men. We asked Nina if she thought the mother would understand the repercussions of this and if it was common in Senegalese society.
Clear whether she would have understood it. I mean, what is clear is that LGBT people in Senegal face a huge amount of discrimination, and often that starts at home. So we've interviewed LGBT people in Senegal who've been thrown out by their families, thrown out essentially on the streets because they have nowhere else to go. You know, there is a huge amount of homophobia, as in any society. In Senegalese society, there are a number of people who are homophobic, and for some, it's so extreme that, you know, they might be willing to take these beliefs out on their children. But it's also unclear that the mother really understood what she was dealing with the police, you know, bringing the police and the courts into this. We've dealt with cases in other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. I can't remember a particular case like this in Senegal, but we've dealt with cases where parents take their children, and by children, I mean young adults, not necessarily minors, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, to the police because they want the police to educate them, to discipline them, to kind of give them a lesson that it's not okay to be homosexual. And in a number of these cases, the parents don't understand that what they're actually doing is bringing criminal charges against their children when they take their children into a police station.
It's quite scary, really. Some of the ministers have spoken out when there's been international condemnation and said being homosexual is not a crime, which it isn't under their laws, but same-sex sexual acts are a crime. Is that really a fair treatment of people?
It's a very thin line. You know, what does it mean to be found guilty of same-sex conduct? There's no right to a fair judicial process, which certainly seems the case from what we've seen in this incident. If you're not likely to get a fair trial, then, you know, mere suspicion that you might be homosexual can be enough to convict you. And so, unfortunately, the impact of the Senegalese law is that LGBT people in Senegal feel that their identities are illegal. And the types of cases that have happened in the past in Senegal, you know, in 2008, a group of young men arrested because they were having an HIV prevention training and they were crossing a room with condoms and lubricants. I mean, there was not even any pretense of evidence that they were caught in the act of same-sex conduct. There was basically just the presumption that because a group of men were sitting around and talking and they had condoms and lubricants on a table in front of them, that they were gay. And that was enough for a court to convict them. Thankfully, the Court of Appeals saw things a little bit more clearly and throughout the case, and they were acquitted on appeal. And that's certainly what we hope will happen in this case as well, because there's really not a shard of evidence, and no objective court should have convicted these young men.
I would imagine that these sorts of laws and attitudes by the courts would have an impact on the ability to deliver HIV messages and safe sex messages.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Senegal is in kind of an ironic situation here in that Senegal was one of the first countries in sub-Saharan Africa to really recognize the HIV pandemic for what it was and to recognize that it was necessary to take it seriously, to address it, and to address it among all segments of the population, including so-called key populations, like men who have sex with men, sex workers, transgender people, people who inject drugs. And so Senegal actually has a fairly good record of fighting HIV in all sectors of the population. But the reality is that the HIV rate has decreased dramatically among the general population, but among the population of men who have sex with men, you don't see that kind of dramatic decrease. And among some segments of that population, some age groups, you see an increase in prevalence of HIV. And so in this particular case, you know, one thing that really concerns us is that there were condoms and lubricants found in this apartment, and that was brought as evidence to the court as well. That was written down on the police report. The actual condoms and lubricants were never produced in court. But, you know, UNAIDS itself has said that countries around the world should stop using condoms as evidence of any crime. Now, in Senegal, that apparently applies to men who have sex with men as well, or men who are suspected of having sex with men, that if you're found with condoms in your house, that's used as additional evidence against you. And so the worry is, of course, that people are going to avoid having condoms in their possession, avoid having lubricants in their possession, and end up having unsafe sex.
You said that the health department recognises this as an issue. Is the blockage at that political level whereby they don't want to be seen to be supporting LGBT people?
Yes, the blockage is very political. And even within the Ministry of Health, you can see that they're trying to walk a very fine political line. So, for instance, there's a national strategy on fighting HIV. And the national strategy doesn't really outrightly call for the decriminalization of same-sex conduct, which, of course, is what we call for and what agencies, international agencies like UNAIDS call for. Instead, it has language about bring Senegal's laws in line with international human rights standards and ensure that the legal environment is favorable to vulnerable populations being able to access HIV services. So there's this kind of coded language, which is basically saying decriminalize same-sex conduct, but they haven't been able to say that in a very clear and direct and straightforward way. Now, at the political level, if we look at, for instance, the president, prime minister, the minister of justice, these are very educated and cosmopolitan people within Senegal, some of whom have a human rights background themselves. You know, sometimes promising, but also a bit sad about Senegal, is that the government is filled with people who know better. These are not necessarily homophobic individuals. They understand basic human rights, and they probably understand the importance of decriminalizing same-sex conduct, both from a human rights and a public health perspective. But in Senegal, there's a very sort of unique situation in which politicians are really beholden to religious leaders. And there is a sort of cabal of extreme religious leaders who play an extraordinary role in politics. And essentially, if you don't, as a politician, if you don't have the support of some of these religious leaders, you don't have a chance in the next elections. And so that's where a lot of the kind of homophobic discourse in Senegal comes from. It comes from this kind of tight-knit group of extremist religious leaders who have a really outsized influence on Senegalese politics and society.
That's Nila Goshal from Human Rights Watch speaking there about religious influence on politics in Senegal. And it is a 95% Muslim country. Interesting, though, I mean, despite that, the Muslim leaders, which are really dominating and pressuring the politicians. So the fact that you can't get elected without their support, that's a very powerful very powerful thing to have for the church. I don't know how you change that at 95%.
It's concerning.
97%, remember.
97, it's just gone up in the last few minutes.
But also concerning was, actually I was quite flabbergasted just hearing about their judicial system and how cases brought before the courts tend to run, and it just, there seems to be no standard of evidence or anything, because it's kind of, we think you did something wrong, you go into jail.
Yeah, sort of like no witnesses, but the police wrote this down on a piece of paper, so okay, all right, we'll go with them.
And why if not? You've got condoms and lube, therefore you must be having
gay sex. And that is probably the most concerning thing. And when they started exploring their HIV and the good things which Senegal have been doing in the area of HIV, and they've actually got one of the lowest rates in Africa, and Africa's, you know, really still is the world hotspot for HIV. They've got one of the lowest rates, so they've been doing the right thing, but then they're kind of throwing this out, and that disconnect between HIV rates for everyday people versus HIV rates for the key populations, men have sex with men, sex workers, drug users, those rates are still very, very high and something that they really need to work on.
And the recent study shows that the rate for 18 to 19-year-olds has also skyrocketed by 20%.
So they're clearly losing touch with that, you know, that younger generation that's coming through. I wonder if that younger generation, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but I wonder if that younger generation is, as we see in so many other countries, there's, you know, more progressive views and more willing to look at changes to laws. I wonder if that's the same in Senegal.
Be interesting to know what's happening on social media, because obviously that age group is the ones that are going to be using that, are going to be contacting their peers on social media. So it'd be interesting if Senegal actually allows that kind of thing to happen and what's actually happening over there on their social media front.
The mother. I'd like to talk about the mother. If your mum
did
dobbed
you in. Did you get to interview the mother, Matt?
Didn't get to interview the mother. I'd probably be too angry.
It does seem a bit simplistic that she didn't realise what was going to happen.
But you can sort of... if that's what you're, you know, if there is this social stigma around and, you know, you think, oh, the police will teach them a lesson, you know, put them in jail overnight or something. Maybe that's
the thought.
They'll
learn not to be gay.
Take them there and lock them up in a cell for 10 minutes because they were shoplifting, that sort of attitude.
Whereas the police tend, from the evidence, tend to take them and beat them.
Yes.
And then
throw them
in prison for a few months
or years.
Small.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very concerning. And
so the only one that learnt anything there was the mum.
Well, that remains
to be seen.
Potentially.
We don't know. There are many other stories in previous years of violence from family members against a suspected gay member of the family. So it's clearly something that is, and it might be part of that demonstrating, you know, it's the family reputation and demonstrating the need to, you know, show that you have fix the problem.
Well, if you're working against that 97% of people, the population that don't agree with LGBT lifestyle, then it's going to be difficult to... How are your parents going to deal with that if they've been brought up in that surroundings?
And I think compounding that is the fact that sex in general is a taboo topic, so it doesn't get exposure on any level, let alone the LGBT level.
Exactly. The cautious language that is being used. So this interesting battle, whilst the health department is very much advocating for health issues around HIV and being more open, they're not talking about changing laws to that issue. They're talking about, you know, changing the language so that, you know, we give people international rights. We give people human rights. So they're not...
So they're trying to weasel their way out of it by making it sound better.
Well, I suspect it's actually comes back to the religious stuff. So if they're seen to be doing the right thing for the international community without explicitly saying... They don't have to explain to people, therefore, that, you know, we're doing this because it's for the LGBT
so
community.
So it sounds like it's political spin.
Domestic politics.
Domestic politics, and all politics is local. It's not just men as well. 5 women have been charged under the anti-gay laws.
I'm glad to see they don't discriminate on something.
That's true. They've been sentenced up to 5 years in prison. That's from a couple of years ago there as well. We've got more speaking with Neela Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch coming up very shortly.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9, where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a worldwide wave.
Now, Western Africa has quite a few countries that don't outlaw homosexuality, including Mali, Guinea-Bissau, Ivory Coast, and Burkina Faso. We asked Neela if she thought Senegal was out of step with that part of Africa.
Well, it's a very interesting sort of tidbit of colonial history, which is that the British colonies almost all criminalized same-sex conduct. And in the former Francophone colonies, there was a very different approach. So France, as a colonial power, did not criminalize same-sex conduct. And so the countries in Francophone West Africa that do criminalize same-sex conduct are in the minority. And in these cases, these are laws that were put into place post-independence. So Senegal, for instance, put into place the law that criminalizes same-sex conduct in the 60s, shortly after independence. And we don't really know why. We don't know the history of that. But we do know that in other countries, this kind of law has often been used as a political tool. You know, there might even be a particular politician who the regime in place wants to sideline, and they realize that this is, you know, maybe that person might be homosexual, and this is a way to kind of get them out of the picture. So whatever the history is, you know, Senegal adopted this law in the 60s, and it is, in fact, out of step with a number of its neighbors. And, you know, when you look at countries like Cote d'Ivoire, Mali, Guinea-Bissau, et cetera, it's not to say that everything is rosy for LGBT populations in those countries. There's still a lot of social stigma, but there's not this kind of institutionalized discrimination. And so the idea that Senegal could one day get rid of these laws is not actually a radical idea. It would just be bringing Senegal in line with other countries in Francophone West Africa.
There have been many calls from the international community for these laws to change. The UN periodic reviews have made many recommendations that have been rejected. President Obama has called for law changes throughout Africa. It doesn't seem to be working. What is Human Rights Watch calling on Senegal or the international community to do?
Well, actually, some of these calls for change are working, and there are several countries that have decriminalized same-sex conduct in the last 10 years. The most recent one in sub-Saharan Africa being Mozambique. Mozambique, at the beginning of this year, essentially quietly reformed its penal code and eliminated the provisions that criminalize same-sex conduct. I think there are four or five in sub-Saharan Africa that have done away with these laws in the last 10 years. And so we basically, you know, we're continuing that call to decriminalize same-sex conduct. Often this can most easily be done as part of a more wholesale reform of a country's penal code. But we also recognize that is, you know, in many cases, that's not a short-term goal. That's a medium-term or even long-term goal because the issue is so highly politicized. And so in the interim, we would call on countries to stop the implementation of these laws. Malawi has done that, for instance, and Malawi has decided to undertake a sort of gradual review of its law that criminalizes same-sex conduct. But for the last several years, Malawi has not arrested or prosecuted anybody under these laws, and that's a conscious political decision. A country like Senegal could make a decision like that, and if it's not ready to go that far, what it could do is simply ensure that the letter of the law is not being violated. In other words, don't have the police going and searching in people's apartments to try to find what they might be doing because somebody has reported them to the police. If you have to enforce the law, enforce it in cases in which there's a very, very obvious case of a violation. The reality is that if governments respected people's right to privacy and didn't go poking around in people's apartments in the first place, they wouldn't come up with very many cases to prosecute, if any at all.
Neela Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch in Africa, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you.
And Neela was speaking to us from Kenya, reporting for the whole of Africa there from Human Rights Watch. I do really like that stepped approach. I love how they're realistic enough to know, look, yes, we do want them to change their laws to decriminalise homosexuality, to bring in some basic human rights for LGBT people. But hey, if you can't do that, if that's too big a step, well, stop enforcing.
Baby steps.
And if that's too big a step, well, here's another option. So it kind of really, I think, boxes the government in. It's very hard to say no because they can keep throwing something at them, which is a baby step and which gradually takes them to the next stage.
And historically, that's what's happened in the Western world, where we've had criminalised homosexuality and then the police have stopped enforcing it.
Yeah, and then the law has no meaning. You're on Worldwide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Mahida from Nigeria, and you are on Worldwide Wave.
And that's pretty significant because that's where we're going next week, off to Nigeria. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Neela Ghoshal from Human Rights Watch in Africa. You can find out all about what they're doing there, the good work they're doing, at hrw.org.
Thanks to Anthony, Stuart, Vicky, Tanuj, Elizabeth, Shannon and a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And not forgetting Gordon at the front desk. And as Matta just said, we are going off to Nigeria next week.
This has been Worldwide Wave in Senegal, and we'll be back same time next week for Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.